T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is the Pony Express.
The thinking is when he's ready to play, he'll play. It's not like, this is a sore ankle or, his knee is sore or whatever, and you can play through it. And this is a tricky one. If you re-injure the calf, then that's it. And then he's done for the series. So when he's ready to play, he'll play, and that's our approach. Kevin's not going to play Sunday. I guess we've been, sort of holding out hope. I might as well just say it now. He's not practicing today. We'll have a practice tomorrow, but he's still progressing. It's near impossible for him to play on Sunday.
All right. Andrew Filippone with you on this Sunday morning. Into the month of June, game 2 of the NBA Finals tonight. Steve Kerr on Kevin Durant's availability, and that's where we're going to begin the discussion this hour on Durant's absence and what that means, because now the Kevin Durant minions, his acolytes, his zealots are coming out and saying, well, see, told you so. Look at what this team, look at the Warriors in the NBA Finals without Durant. Look at what happens when they're forced to give Jonas Jerebko big minutes. Look at what happens when Andre Iguodala isn't at 100%. They miss Durant. They're not going to beat the Raptors without Kevin Durant. Stop me if I'm telling you something new. If you think it's a straw man or completely made up, you're not consuming the same kind of sports media that I am. Because that seems to be the popular thing. These analysts and talk show hosts and people in the media who didn't have a leg to stand on when Durant was out and the Warriors were kicking everybody's behind, now have one game to point to. And it's a big game. It's the NBA Finals. I get that. But now those analysts are lecturing the people who said, look at the Warriors without Durant. They're actually better. And that was said not on a baseless level. That wasn't said for effect. That was said with a big resume, a lot of numbers to back it up. I like facts. So, I'm probably a stat guy more than most people. I like things that are less subjective. So I probably point to numbers maybe more than other talk show hosts. But it's hard to argue facts. Maybe in today's world of alternative facts, people disagree with that. I don't know. I look at numbers and they, to me, make a compelling argument. So when I see that the Warriors are now 30-2 without Kevin Durant since he joined the Warriors, 30-2. I'm not going to be the smart aleck who says, well, how many of those games were against the Sacramento Kings, Andrew? How many of those games were played in October or November? When Steph Curry plays without Kevin Durant, look at how good he is. And he has fallen on his face in these NBA Finals. There's a reason why he hasn't won the NBA Finals MVP in his career. Look at his numbers without him. In the 6 games he's played in the playoffs, he's scored more than 30 points in all 6 games. So I know without Kevin Durant, I start the games. If I'm the Warriors, I start the games with at least 30 points. I'm up 30 points before the ball gets tipped, because I can take out a permanent marker and put at least 30 down for Steph Curry. And when Durant's in the lineup, you can't always do that. And when Durant plays and Curry doesn't, the Warriors are a point better than the opposition. When Durant's out and Curry plays, the Warriors are 11 points better than the opposition. They're winning easily, comfortably. They're not with Durant. And I'm sick and tired of hearing people say, well, there's a reason why they got Kevin Durant. They lost the NBA Finals the year before he showed up there. Well, yeah, they did. But they also set an NBA record with 73 wins, and they would have won the series. They would have won that series if not for Draymond Green acting like an idiot and the NBA overreacting to something he did because they wanted to make it a series. They didn't want to see the Warriors dispatch the Cavs in five. They wanted to make it a real series, and they got their wish. Cleveland went on to win it in seven. So do the Warriors need Kevin Durant? My answer is still no. I've seen them win a championship without him, and I think they can do it again. They need to get more from Klay Thompson. 21 points is not going to cut it. I trust him. I believe in him. He's probably one of the 15 or 20 best players in the NBA. He's one of the two or three best shooters. I think he finds his stroke. I think he's due. I don't think Draymond Green is going to let Toronto's fourth best player go for another 30-plus game. I like the way Draymond Green plays better when Durant's out of the lineup. And typically, the Warriors' bench plays better without Durant. Now, it's easier to get bench production at home than it is on the road. I understand that. So I'm asking tonight for Golden State's second and third best players who are Hall of Famers, who are all-time great players, to do a little bit better, and I don't think that's asking too much. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. Do the Warriors need Kevin Durant to come back and play? Do they need Durant to win the series? What do you think? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Let me tell you something else I've heard. I think this is from Mark Jackson, who, let's face it, now we know Mark Jackson couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag. Mark Jackson was given Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and he wasn't winning championships with these guys. There was a coaching upgrade that occurred when he went back to the broadcast booth and Steve Kerr got hired. So let's not take everything Mark Jackson says. Just because he played in the NBA and is an analyst, it doesn't mean everything he says is gospel, all right? Mark Jackson says, you can't take Kevin Durant off the team and get better. That's now his... You know, that's his kind of Occam's razor. The simplest answer is the best answer. You don't take a top three player off a team and they get better. He's now prone to say that. That's now his fallback thing to say. You know, I hear that. But then I think about, like, let's look at another dynasty in sports, okay? Like, let's look at New England, for example. I know it's not basketball. It's another sport. But I look at New England. And you know what I don't hear right now? I'll tell you what has not been said, I don't think, once this offseason. I don't hear people saying about the Patriots, well, they lost the greatest tight end, arguably, in the history of the NFL. There's no way they can repeat and win the Super Bowl again. Really? Because when I woke up this morning, Vegas has the Patriots as the team to beat again. They've taken the greatest tight end in the history of the NFL. Maybe he doesn't have the numbers of Tony Gonzalez or Shannon Sharp, but just at his best, I'll take Rob Gronkowski, peak Rob Gronkowski, over any tight end in NFL history. They lose Rob Gronkowski. They've replaced him with Benjamin Watson. Ben Watson. And I don't hear anybody saying, well, that's it. That's all, folks. The Patriots are done. Great teams lose great players. Man, how many times have the Patriots gotten rid of an all-pro or Pro Bowl player a year early rather than a year late, and they've been just fine? If you look at the Warriors, they've won with Durant. They've won under 60 games both seasons. Right? Like 58 wins, 57 wins. Far cry from when they won 73 without him. I think like 62 the year before, 65 the year before that. I don't know. I look at the over-under in Vegas, wins for the Steelers this year, 9. That's the same number as last year. That team got rid of Antonio Brown, who is one of the 5 best wide receivers in NFL history. They've replaced him with a rookie wide receiver from Toledo. And Dante Moncrief, who's on his 3rd team in 3 years. And I don't hear people saying, well, the Steelers are done. You can't subtract one of the greatest offensive weapons in the NFL and get better. In fact, I hear the opposite. Well, chemistry will be better. The team will coalesce and gel better. And it'll be addition by subtraction there. Isn't it funny the way that works? The same guys who open their mouth on TV, the same like Max Kellermans and Skip Bayless's, the same guys who make probably more money, they do make more money than me, to offer their opinions, speak out of both sides of their mouth where they say, the Warriors need Kevin Durant, but, you know, the Steelers will be better without Antonio Brown, or the Patriots won't skip a beat without Rob Gronkowski. Well, which one is it? Which one is it? You know, the Raiders just got one of the best players in the entire NFL. I don't see the Raiders as a team that is now on the uptick that is going to win, what, 10, 11 games this year? So my point is, like, I get it. Kevin Durant, just in a vacuum, on his own, is one of the most productive and most spectacular and most impressive NBA players I've ever watched. But that doesn't mean he makes the Warriors better. And the numbers back up what I'm saying. And if you want to say, well, Andrew, the facts don't matter, well, then fine. If you want to live in that world, in that bubble, where you want to base your arguments on your own eye test from your own couch, you can have that. I've watched the Warriors play 6 games without Kevin Durant. They looked better to me without Durant up until game 1. And am I going to say that that's because Kevin Durant is on a milk carton because he's missing in action? Or am I going to give the Warriors the benefit of the doubt because they were off for 10 days and the Raptors had like one of the most cathartic events in Toronto sports history? I'm going to go with that. So I don't think the Warriors need Durant. I think it's a huge overreaction to one game. And if you live in a state where you can bet on tonight's game and actually get the Warriors as an underdog, do yourself a favor and do it. If Pharrell was here, he'd tell you the same thing. So that to me is an easy one. Now all of a sudden the Warriors can't win a championship without Kevin Durant. A week ago when they swept the Trailblazers, you know, there were people that, like me, said the numbers are you can't debate them. But man, people get spooked and scared off of just one game. It's crazy. It's not one and done. This isn't the NCAA tournament or the NFL playoffs. I do want to get your thoughts, though, at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You know, there are a lot of Kevin Durant defenders out there, lovers, who worship him and put him on a pedestal, so they probably hear this and get offended by it, but sometimes the truth hurts. 855-212-4227. I think that we love people who look like us, who accomplish great things, that it reinforces or it makes us more acceptable, or we live with or cope with our own inadequacies and our own insecurities better. When people who look like us do great things in sports, and that happened last night, and I will tell you about that next. My name is Andrew Filippone. The show is called The Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is The Pony Express.
That's right. Last night in New York City, we had one of the biggest upsets in boxing history, at least heavyweight boxing history. not seeing the back of the New York Post, I wouldn't be surprised if it said something like fat guy wins heavyweight title. This Anthony Ruiz, who took the fight. I didn't even know the guy's name. Andy Ruiz, who took the fight 2 months ago, who like reached out on social media to the boxing promoter, the guy who was putting on the fight after Anthony Joshua's opponent backed out, filled in, and now he is a heavyweight champion. It, in one way, is a setback for boxing because Joshua was considered one half of what was supposed to be a ballyhooed, highly anticipated heavyweight fight against Deontay Wilder, and I know the heavyweight division is just dying for a fight that people will pay attention to. I mean, you got to go way back to almost like Lennox Lewis versus a Klitschko brother to find a boxing event that a lot of Americans wanted to watch. The sport has really been exported to places like Europe, Great Britain. In those places, heavyweight boxing is still big. It's no longer the case in America. And a Wilder-Joshua fight was supposed to be one that brought some attention to boxing's biggest and at one time most popular division. And now that seems to be quashed by this Ruiz win last night, this epic upset. But I'm more optimistic than some of my contemporaries and peers on this. I think the idea that some slob won the heavyweight title is actually good for the sport. It will not be a long-term win for boxing. It's not like they have found this messianic or chosen one figure that is going to make boxing now a sport that gets a ton of eyeballs. But you do have kind of a freak who's in there now who I think fits the bill, who fits the description of the type of athlete that I know Americans fawn over and root for. And that is, just to put it in the most layman's term possible, when a fat guy wins, when a big guy who's built like most of America, overweight, borderline obese, somebody who doesn't look good with their shirt off, who's probably better off going to a pool this time of year and keeping the t-shirt on, who looks in the mirror before they go to bed at night and says, my goodness, what the hell has happened to me? The kind of guy who, goes through a fast food drive-through, and then like a half hour later is self-loathing and regretting it. That's the type of person who can identify with Andy Ruiz Jr. Somebody who looks like 65 to 70% of American men. And I think we've got a long history of rooting for and making stars out of guys who look like Andy Ruiz Jr. If Charles Barkley was in great shape, I don't think he would be as popular as he is today. If John Daly looked like Tiger Woods, there is no way he would have the kind of following that he does. Athletes who look like us do better. They find their way into pop culture. They have crossover success. They become celebrities because they have found a way in a sport where nutrition and aerobic activity and training means so much. People who reject that, kind of these countercurrent radical guys who look like they would rather sleep in till 10 a.m. than get a run in or get a workout in, when they win, we love that. Because those are the kind of decisions we make every day. You get up in the morning and you say, I promise myself I'm going to go to the gym. 4 o'clock rolls around and you're like, the hell with that. I've had such a long day. Thank God I had 6 cups of coffee to get myself through this miserable afternoon. There's no way I'm going to go to the gym now for the next hour. Get me home. I'm ordering a pizza, and I'm going to gorge out and watch sports until I pass out on the couch at 11:30. That's how a lot of us live our lives. And this dude comes out afterwards and says, my pre-boxing match routine is that I eat a Snickers bar before every match. That's a that is a match made in heaven. That's a commercial opportunity ready to take off. I love it when guys who are not in good shape excel in sports. Some people think it's an affront to sports and athletic competition that these guys are don't match or meet the definition of athlete. When Bartolo Colon hits a home run, when C.J. Anderson comes off the couch and goes for 200 yards against the Cowboys in the playoffs. I love chunky, I love thick, I love flabby athletes. And this guy is the latest one to do it. And I bet you he'll have some mainstream success or crossover success because of it. Fans want to see if this guy who's built like us, who fights like us, who looks like he's a barroom kind of backroom brawler, if he can now either get a rematch and beat this guy and prove that it wasn't a fluke, or maybe he gets a shot at the number one boxer, who knows. But either way, I think there's money to be made. That the whole Rocky story is built on this. And every man, somebody that isn't out of central casting, who excels in the sport. I mean, I don't know how many matches Butterbean won, but I remember that name, and he's in my consciousness because of what he looked like, and my guess is this guy is going to have the same kind of success. So I do think it's good for the sport in the long run. Well, not in the long... Let me take that back. When I say long run, I mean for the next like 6 months to a year, but probably not big picture. I don't see this guy as now a staple on the boxing scene. But I think the next time he fights, he'll get people to watch. Because I think it's easy for people to root for him because he's the best underdog story going. Yeah, if it was a huge upset and it was a guy who looked like, you know, Da Vinci's Michelangelo who upset Joshua, I don't think America would care. But when the guy looks like he needs a sports bra to box, I think people want to watch that. I think people want to root for a guy like Andy Ruiz, who's eating candy bars and steaks before he fights, who found out about it 2 months beforehand and looks like his diet was playing Madden until 2 o'clock in the morning before taking this fight. Thank you. All right, coming up next. I do want your thoughts on whether or not the Warriors need Kevin Durant to win this series. Was game one proof that the Warriors need Durant back? 855-212-4CBS. It's 855-212-4227. That number brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I think there's one Warrior who's making a huge sacrifice, and if you're paying attention, it should in some way kind of change the narrative about that team, the way that that team is perceived, all the hatred they get, all the vitriol and venom they get from fans. I'm going to share that story with you coming up. Draymond Green had a take on the haters. We've got this Drake situation to discuss as well. You can follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. That's the name of the show.
This is the Pony Express.
Today at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, the toughest sport on dirt takes the stage in Wisconsin for the Green Bay Invitational. The Unleash the Beast series continues on CBS Sports Network, the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Yeah, getting a lot of reaction on this Andy Ruiz Jr. story. Goes down as one of the biggest upsets in boxing history last night. And a guy who looks like he could try out for the Biggest Loser wins the heavyweight championship. And I think America loves guys like this because it makes us feel better about our own physical condition and the way we look. And these are the types of underdog stories we get into even more. If you get dubbed too short or too fat and you accomplish great things in sports, I think those are the types of athletes who resonate the most with America. Like, look at Doug Flutie. Was not a great quarterback, but because he was so short and had a knack for producing big comebacks, he had a huge following. If he was 6'2 and produced the same numbers and had the same kind of career, he wouldn't be remembered as an iconic or memorable quarterback. So what you look like counts for something, and it does with this guy last night, and I think people will want to tune in to watch his next fight. I think the Warriors are a pretty unlikable team because they're the opposite of what I'm talking about. They got everything. They got an embarrassment of riches. They're stacked. And so when we see a team that has everything, I mean, who likes the guy at work who brags about his big house and his big car and his super hot wife and all the money he makes? We hate, I hate that. The braggadocious or vain person who's always telling you how much money they make, how expensive their watch is, the expensive dinner they had last night. I mean, I hate when people of means rub it in your face. And I think the Warriors do that. They're not kind of a very kind of humble or modest winner. They know they've got the best team, and they act that way. That's how they carry themselves. But there is somebody on the Warriors who I think deserves some credit for his journey to this NBA Finals and where he's at right now. And I think he's a guy who's actually ready to take on a bigger role starting tonight with Game 2. And that's DeMarcus Cousins, who had a terrible rap. This guy, his MO was that he was a malignant player, a cancer, that you couldn't win with him. The Kings couldn't win with him as their best player because he was selfish, he was moody, he cared too much about himself. He'd rather get 35-20 and lose then score like 10 points and get 11 rebounds and win. And I think he had a reputation too for not always caring that, you know, the little things, whether it's leadership in a locker room or the example you set off the court, that this was not a guy that you necessarily wanted young, impressionable players around. And look, DeMarcus Cousins went out in game one in his comeback game and only had 3 points in 8 minutes. But I do think it speaks volumes about the type of person he is. He's been out now he was out for 45 days. When he got injured back in April, he could have just shut it down and said, the heck with this. I'm a free agent this summer. I'm not going to rush back or risk it, further injure myself, and then I'm damaged goods going into a big payday. And it's a similar situation to last year where teams are skeptical, where teams are questioning whether or not I'm worth big money. It would have been really easy. Man, if I were in that situation, I'd probably be thinking about myself. It's more important, Andrew, for you to pass a physical than it is for you to go out and chip in and do some little stuff, you know, some under-the-radar stuff that doesn't show up in a box score to help your team win a championship. Why put in grueling hours of rehab and rehabilitation and practice and doing things that probably in the long run are not going to be financially beneficial, that aren't going to create a bigger payday for me? And that would be right in line with DeMarcus Cousins' personality. Instead, he does everything he can to get back. Kind of grueling hours behind the scenes that we don't see. He shows up in game one. He looks like he's out of shape. I mean, he's huffing and puffing and he's sweating like crazy. And he's playing a minor role. And he's also coming off the bench, playing behind a guy like Jordan Bell, who he's way better than. And he's not complaining about it. We you know the reporting work in the NBA. If there's drama, if there's any chance that there's grumbling or backstabbing or in-house fighting, we'd hear about it. Somebody like Woj or Shams or these NBA insiders, we'd find out about it. I mean, we found out how Spurs players felt about Kawhi Leonard last year behind the scenes. So if there was any debate or any discussion over DeMarcus Cousins accepting a supporting cast role and hating it and complaining about it, we'd know about it by now. And that's not the case. And I've made it pretty clear, and we're going to talk about this next hour because Draymond Green went on record and brought it up, how American sports fans look at dynasties. He was trying to explain that to the Canadian media, how our fans here look at people in power or look at teams that are successful and how our opinions of those teams, once they find sustained or prolonged success, change. If there's one guy on the Warriors who I'm rooting for, who I'm hoping wins a championship, it's Cousins. I like when people change perception. And if people say, like Dennis Rodman, for example, is a great case study in this. Well, he's just uncoachable. He's insane. He'd rather get 14 rebounds and sleep with Madonna than do what needs to be done to win a championship. He's going to show up to practice hungover. He's going to give his coach the middle finger. And the Bulls don't have the second three-peat without Rodman. They needed somebody to replace Horace Grant, who left in free agency, and he was better than Grant. And Phil Jackson found a way to get through to him, and you're around Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen, and I think they hold you to a certain standard. And he was awesome for the Bulls. But he went there, and I think people were like, man, why would Chicago take this risk? Why would they chance it with Dennis Rodman? I think he changed perception. That ultimately never really happened for Terrell Owens, or that really hasn't happened for Antonio Brown. We'll see what goes on in Oakland. But I kind of like when guys who have a reputation for being bad boys or bad eggs, where they go to a team and they buy into a team concept. I think that happened for Randy Moss in New England. He didn't win a championship, but he got him to an undefeated regular season, and they were a catch off a guy's helmet away from the most spectacular, most impressive season in NFL history. And Boogie Cousins isn't having Randy Moss-like success in Golden State. This season is not the way he wanted it to go. He thought, I'll sign there, I'll join this colossus, this dynastic team, I'll put up huge numbers, I'll go right back into free agency, and I'll make a fortune. Instead, he gets hurt. His numbers are good, but they're not anywhere close to what they were in New Orleans and Sacramento. And I think if he comes back and even does, if he helps the Warriors win tonight with a couple of critical rebounds, maybe a big three-pointer or a big finish or a big block or something that wins them this game, I think we could look back on it as a turning point. And I don't know. It's different. Like, I don't give Durant credit for sacrificing in Golden State. I just don't. Because I think, he might play in the hearts of Warriors fans. He might play second fiddle to Steph Curry. But he's widely acknowledged as the best player on that team, as one of the best players in the world. And he still gets about as many shots as he wants. Cousins isn't demanding the ball in the post, and they're not running their offense through him, which was the case in his previous stops. At least it was that way in Sacramento. So guys that can kind of check their ego at the door, guys that you think have massive egos, when they do it, I think we should give them credit for it. And this is, I think, one of the subplots to the NBA Finals that really hasn't been dissected or discussed yet, that I believe will become a spotlight issue if the Warriors find a way to win this game tonight. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. When you're home, if you're driving around right now, there's a bunch of ways you can listen to the show. If you have an Alexa or one of those Echoes, you can tell it to play us. Just say, hey, play CBS Sports Radio. Boom, it's on the air for you. It's free. Same thing with the radio.com app. You can get that on your phone, and you can take us wherever you're going. Like, I'll be at a beach in Jamaica next month. I'll have access to all the shows. I'll be able to keep up on things when I'm on vacation. And if you want to just listen to us, hey, encourage your local affiliates to pick us up. You can go to cbssportsradio.com, get a full list of affiliates who carry the show over there. Coming up next hour, how about this Drake nonsense and how his conversation with Warriors players when they're coming off the court and where he sits for games and what jerseys he wears for games and how he has now put himself as a fan, as a spectator, into the conversation and how we feel about that. We'll discuss it. I just teased this. I just promoted this. Draymond Green on how the American sports fan now looks at dynasties, all-time great teams, and whether or not we really appreciate greatness or we root for greatness to fail. And when that changed, or if that's changed in the American sports culture in the last few decades. Because it used to be the case, you hear this all the time, dynasties are great for sports. You know, this team was great for Major League Baseball, or the NFL, or the NBA, or the NHL. And I thought Draymond, who can kind of be a pain in the neck, had some poignant, thoughtful comments on that. So you'll hear that coming up. Of course, game two tonight in Toronto. I still pick the Warriors to win the series. They're a small underdog tonight. I think that's a lock. You can follow me on Twitter at the Pony Express. Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can follow us on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio. How does the American sports fan look at the Warriors now? You'll hear from one of their all-star players next. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.